Are you ready for the word today? Would you stand to your feet? Let's turn our hearts and thoughts toward heaven. Father, we thank you for the privilege to study your word, to be in your presence. We thank you for your blessing. Exceedingly precious promises that we may be partakers of your divine nature. I thank you, Father. Your word tells us from that verse that all that you are is available to us. So I thank you today. I ask you to place your hand upon every person under the sound of my voice, wherever they're at in their walk with God, whatever they might need, whatever their desires or dreams or goals, touch them, bless them in a special way. For some, they need direction. For others, they need deliverance or encouragement or demonstration of power or healing or provision. Whatever it might be, Father God, I ask that not one person under the sound of my voice would leave this place today the way they came in. Not one person, regardless of where they're at. If there's any atheists in the room, Father, I just pray, let them feel your love and the reality of your presence. They're not hated, they're loved, for you love them so much that you sent Jesus. If there's anybody that's been hurt by the church world in the past, I just pray for healing, the balm of Gilead, the anointing oil of healing to rest and bring freedom. Touch their minds, their perspective, their heart. You are the healer of the broken heart. You are the healer of the broken hearted. We give you all the praise, Lord Jesus. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Our theme for this year during our 21 days of prayer and fasting has been the God of the impossible. This is what the Lord placed in our heart. The God of the impossible is doing the impossible for you today. Say that with me. Say, the God of the impossible. Now, the word impossible, again, I'm going to keep doing this because faith, Romans 10:17, comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And I love talking to members in the middle of the conversation. They might tell me what they're going through or challenge, but then they'll respond, but the God of the impossible. The word impossible is the same synonymous, you would say, is the same word or meaning as miracle. But I know sometimes if we've been in the church world a long time, we'll lose sight of the meaning of what's being said, the substance, the essence of it. So we could say he's the God of miracles, but then we'll start in our mind and memory go to the place of miracles that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. He's not only the God of miracles back in the day, he's the God of miracles even today. He's just not the God of the miracles of people in the story in the past. He's the God of miracles. He's the God of the impossible to whomever believes. That means you. Amen. Say, he's the God of the impossible. Come on, work with me today. We can all be at lunch before noon. He's the God of the impossible. And he's doing the impossible for me today. You say, why do I need to say it? If God wants to do it, he'll do it. No, you don't understand the context of the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, you have to participate. Because God doesn't love one person more than the other, but he'll do more in one person's life than he does the other. Not that he's doing it. He's already done it. And it's a matter of us walking up to the table of provision that he's provided. Psalms 23, he has prepared a table for you in the midst of your enemies. If you want to take a breadcrumb that's fallen from the table, you're welcome. But I'm telling you, there is so much more for each and every one of us. And none of us have reached perfection. We should all keep growing, never outgrow growth. But in the realm of faith, faith is specific, and we receive what God has for us through the realm of faith. The Bible tells us that. I didn't come up with it. The Bible said it. You don't like it? Talk to Jesus, but I didn't write the Bible. Hebrews 6:12, through faith and patience, they inherit the promises of God. He did not say, through much crying and torment and pain and begging, you receive it. No, and a lot of us have spent a lot of hours crying, tortured, and emotionally begging God to do something where he's in heaven saying, I've already done it. Many people lack in power in their prayers because they're praying out of alignment with God's word because either A, it's not in his word. Pastor, I want you to agree with me in prayer. For what? I believe that person is going to be my future wife. They're already married. That's not in line with the word of God. Or either we're praying out of alignment with God's word. Not at the level of God's word. I need you to pray. I just need to feel a little less pain, just a little bit less pain through the day. That's not in God's word. Right. Right. He didn't say, I'm your Jehovah Jireh, I'll help you make rent by in 30 days. No, he says, I'm your Jehovah Jireh, and when I begin to be El Shaddai, there is more than enough. See, when we pray at the level of our pain, we have no power. But when we pray at the level of his promise, that's when power kicks in. And you won't pray at the level of promise until you get it so deep in your spirit that he's the God of the impossible. As long as the devil gets you to second guess it, doubt it, wonder, maybe not for me, maybe not now, it won't happen. But when you get so solidified, and it comes by hearing and hearing, and when the enemy says you're going down, you'll hear out of your own mouth, I serve the God of the impossible, and he's doing the impossible. I will not go under. I will go over. My marriage will last. My body is healed. I will not die. I will live and declare the works of the Lord. Come on, you got to jump in this. For all our guests, you got to participate. This is not one-sided monologue. Because your response, this is not for my affirmation. This is not for my encouragement. It is a spiritual principle. Your response connects you to what God is doing in the moment. God will never override your will. Well, I'll sit back, and if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because my Bible tells me, look it up, challenge it. I don't care if you agree or disagree, challenge it. That's what I want you to do. Walk out of here and say, I don't know if I agree with that guy. Challenge it. My Bible says that it's the desire of the Father that none should perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But there's not one person in here that thinks everyone's going to heaven. There are people going to hell, not because it's the will of the Father, but because it was their choice and their decision. Choose this day whom you will serve. And if you're going to serve God, I'm telling you, you don't have to feel like you have to compete and compare. It's not being greedy. It's not wanting what doesn't belong to you, but it's coming to a place that, Lord, if you purchase something on the cross of Calvary for me, if it's purchased for me, some of us, when we walk out of a store and you go to put everything in your basket in your car, have you ever done that? And you're taking this and you're putting, yeah, I need that. I'm glad I got that. Got to get this. And sometimes you're looking, I don't know why I bought that, but I got it anyway. And so have you ever gone to where you're like, wait a minute, I didn't get what I came for. I'm missing something. Have you ever done that? What's the first thing you do? You look at the receipt, don't you? And you say, did I buy that? If I paid for it, I want to make sure I get it because I don't see it. And you go over that receipt and you start looking line item. It might be a receipt 10 feet long, but you're going to go through each line and you're looking. And when you see it, what do? You don't go, well, I guess God doesn't want me to have that. No, you don't. And some of you, you don't even act like a Christian, but I appreciate your zeal. You'll walk right back into that store and you say, I need to talk to the manager. What do you need? Get the manager. Well, I can help you. You a manager? No, get the manager. I don't need to tell this twice to three different levels up here. I want to talk to someone with has authority. And they show, can I help you? You say, see this? I have a receipt. And on that receipt, it says, I bought that. Do you see that receipt? Yes, I see the receipt. It's not a my cart. I want what I paid for. See, that's all I'm talking about. I'm not saying going after stuff that doesn't belong for you. I'm saying that if the promises of the new covenant, which is your receipt of heaven, what Jesus paid for on the cross of Calvary, if it's on your receipt, don't look at it and say, well, I guess God doesn't want me to have it. No, if you would treat a can of corn a little better, I think you need to get a hold of this for your healing, for your blessing, for your prosperity, for your peace and your joy. It doesn't mean that everything falls into place immediately. Sometimes it's a patient thing. Sometimes it's a price you have to pay. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. But you come to the revelation. Am I talking to somebody today? That if it's on that list, if I have the receipt, I'm going to the person who's trying to hold it back and say, sorry, you can't keep it. It's mine. I want it. And you don't have to go to God. God's already said it's yours. You're not going to God and say, God, please give it to me. He said, I bought it. I put it there. Now you got to receive it. Amen. Say, it's mine. Say, he's the God of the impossible. And he's doing the impossible for me today in Jesus' name. Of our key verse throughout the whole year. This is a theme. Psalms 111, verse 4 and 6. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. He causes you, If all you're praying is for little prayers, you won't even notice when you get the answer. Raise your faith, child of God. Begin to find what's on that receipt. Raise your faith. Find what the devil tells you will not happen. It's too late. And join the ranks of Hebrews 11, men and women of faith, who at one time in their journey of life faced the same hopeless, impossible scenario, but were strong in faith. Romans 4. We're strong in faith and say, listen, God, if you said it, then I'm not depending on me or my network or my ability. I'm going to look to what you said. And if you said it, you are well able. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. He has shown his great power to his people by giving them the lands of other nations. In the name of Jesus, I speak what God has for you coming into your hands this year in the mighty name of Jesus. For some people this month, some people this day or this week, I speak into your life the things that you thought were impossible is coming into your hands. Properties, opportunities, ideas, all the things that God has for you coming into your hands in the way that you know that it was God. It was God who did it. It was God's power, and he will be, all the praise will go to God in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, give him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're a guest, you're probably thinking, that is the strangest introduction I have ever heard in my life. But we're not here just to have church. We're here to be the church. There's too many people that go to a church, to attend a church, and the world around us seems like it's getting crazier, and we blame everybody but the church. We'll blame all the politicians, and they need help. We'll blame the school system. We'll blame so-and-so in the history of our painful life. But when did we stop being the church? God called us to not have church, and it's good that we have church, but it's greater that we be the church. We are to be a light, not just a candle. We're to be a city on a hill that cannot be denied. I believe we're in the last of the last days, and I believe God is preparing each and every one of us. So in the journey of life, you can demonstrate the goodness of God, that people will say that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. That they'll be able to quote verses like, what is so different about you? Well, the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You know what that tells me? That the glory may be of God and not of men. You know what that tells me in that verse? That what God is doing in you, it's of great value. We have this treasure. So many people walk around in the church world thinking, we got this junkyard. That God didn't give you a junkyard. He gave you a treasure. You are of great value. And the enemy is taunting and tormenting to shape people's perspective to the place that they're not only devalued, but they don't believe that God can do anything in them or for them or through them. But that day is changing in the mighty name of Jesus. You might have walked through these doors thinking you have no value, that you can't do anything, and nobody loves you. I'm telling you, you are of great value. And if you feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel, shine and shout, because what God is about to do is going to blow your mind. He is the God of the impossible, and he can do the impossible for you and through you. Some of the greatest stories are that they make movies about is people who thought they were at the bottom and then find themselves at the top. Well, I think that's just being carnal. Well, that's because that's why you're at the bottom so long. 2 Corinthians 2:14 tells God we'll use our victories so that we can display the aroma of his goodness wherever we go. People listen to you more when you're doing well. The world will listen, and now you have something to say. Oh, don't get me sidetracked. Here we go. He is the God of the impossible. We have been doing a series. We moved out of the one called Mine, teaching from the Word of God how to hold on to what belongs to you. Even when answer prayers, I got prayed for so-and-so or someone prayed for me, and we're seeing miracles on a regular basis. But even when you have a miracle answer, you have to learn to hold on to it. Because John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And the moment you get your miracle and defeat him in an area doesn't mean that he's not going to come back in the future with a symptom. And what you say and what you believe and do will activate either his assignment or God's assignment in your life. We talked about how to hold on to what God has. And when the devil tries to creep in and tell you, oh, that peace you had was good on Sunday, I guess it's not going to last all week. You say, no, devil, you're a liar. I'm keeping my peace. I'm keeping my joy. The joy of the Lord is my. I'm going to keep my healing. Thank you for the five of you that agree with that. We talked last week about drawing that line. Where do we draw the line in so we begin to rise up when the enemy tries to creep over into our lives? Today I want to talk about how to recognize your portion. Right. Recognizing your portion. To recognize our portion being inheritance. As children of God, to recognize what is from God and what is not from God. I see this so confused in the church world. I've grown up in the church world. My parents were pastors for 40 years, 38 at Hope. I grew up around church, which means I grew up around a lot of other church people. And I understand when people can get offended at church because there's some weird people in the church world. I'm just being serious with you. I don't know if it's just we embrace everybody and we love people, but and if someone's ever hurt you in the past, don't blame Jesus. Don't blame it's like going to a bad restaurant. If the food was bad, you don't stop eating at restaurants. You find a better one. Come on, somebody. Don't worry about some silly people. Giant killers never get distracted by grasshoppers. I can't say that again. That's a one. You better write that down. We can't be destructive. We got to. See, you got me all sidetracked now. What are you doing? Oh, I know where I was at. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And one of the things I've seen in the church world is people don't know how to recognize their portion. If you don't know how to identify what you're dealing with or in the situation you're in as what is your portion, what is not your portion. I was talking to one of the members a few weeks ago on a situation, and they were beginning to open up and share what they were going through. And I just stopped them, not to be rude. I said, wait a minute. That's not your portion. You can welcome it. You can embrace it. And you can let it do its negativity, which is the plan of the devil. Or you can rise up and say, this is not my portion. The woman with the issue of blood pushed through the crowd, and she was willing to push through the crowd because she knew that the crowd was not her portion. It was touching Jesus, and the miracle was her portion. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross. Because the portion is not the pressure. The pressure comes, the Bible we've already seen. The pressure will come because of the word's sake. You get a new revelation, you get a hold of the word, you're excited about the word, and you think things are going great, and they are going great. But the devil doesn't sit there and clap. He begins to apply pressure because he knows the power of the word. It's the word that will create a change in you that cannot be revoked, ignored, or denied. You can do all the self-help programs on the late infomercials and be in the best shape of your life in 90 days, and we've all bought them, and we all store them, and none of us have seen a difference. But when God brings a change in your life, and it's like they don't understand which one is their portion. They don't understand what's their inheritance. I lost my job. Well, I think the Lord's just trying to get some glory here. My child just got diagnosed with a bad illness. Well, God is wanting to get glory out of that. That's not your portion. We got to be willing out of our words. I thought it. It's not thinking it. We've done a series, maybe we'll keep doing this from time to time. There's power of not only what you believe in your heart, but what you say with your mouth. It's how you got into this context called salvation. It's with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And that word salvation is soteria in the Greek word, or sozo is saved in the Greek. And it literally is a contract. It is a covenant that you have with God that includes your forgiveness of your sins. You go into heaven, but it includes everything that the New Testament tells has been purchased for you on the cross of Calvary. That's why the Bible says it's by these exceeding precious promises that we got to understand. These promises aren't lighthearted. They are powerful. They are precious. They were purchased by the blood of Jesus. That's why the Bible says that the promises of God to you and to me are yea and amen in the King James, which means approved and so be it. That's why Jesus, the Bible tells us that he has, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. But people get into situations and they don't understand what is their portion in this. And we have to be willing to operate the kingdom principles and say, when things are coming against us, say, wait a minute, I feel discouraged, but that's not my portion. I feel wounded because they attacked me at work. That is not my portion. That means I'm not staying here. I'm not signing for that package. The doctor says, I'm seeing something on the x-ray. Well, thank you for your information, doctor. But you know what I mean? That is not my portion. My way of always doing it is I use the phrase, I curse that in the name of Jesus. I'll say that to whoever who's trying to. I've had people try to speak. People will do it not even knowing what they're doing. And they'll try to speak over your life. Without knowing it, they're literally speaking a curse over your life. Well, I know you're going through a hard time. Curse that in the name of Jesus. I'll even say it to people who don't even go to church. You say, that's casting pearls before swine. No, because I'm not trying to get anything from them. I'm stopping what they're doing. David didn't have to explain to Goliath what that staff was about. He called it a stick. That staff represented every miracle God had done in David's life. But he didn't have to argue, debate with the enemy about what he had. Right. All he had to do is chuck a rock. Take you a few seconds to figure that one out. And watch God do what only God could do. He didn't have to explain it. I'll just say, I curse that name of Jesus. What do you mean? Well, you say, I don't believe that's important. Well, just check the Bible. Because the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We've all heard that. But you know, a lot of people never read the second part of that same verse. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Didn't say God would condemn it. You have to condemn it. You have to condemn it. Well, words, yeah, I mean, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Oh, yeah? You better check again. Because words have power, positive or negative. Well, they might get offended. I'd rather them be a little offended with me than me walking away from that conversation, carrying on a curse that I have to deal with later. Because every minute you letting that thing dangle around there, it's trying to get stronger. I'd rather deal it at the beginning, at its infancy. When you deal with it at its infancy, it's easier than dealing when you let that thing grow up in your life. You let that little demon grow up, and it's been there 30 years. It comes and shows up at every event. The name of Jesus is still the greatest authority. But I'm telling you, even the devil knows that, because anytime when he knew the Messiah was coming, regardless if it was Moses' life or Jesus' life, what did he do? He tried to kill him in infancy, because it's easier to kill something at the beginning than wait for them to come to maturity. But I'm here to tell you that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. I'm not telling you if you've been dealing with something for a lifetime means you can't be delivered. I'm saying be delivered right now by the power and authority. You might not understand it in your natural mind. I'm not asking you to figure it out. I am telling you to respond. I receive it. Be free by the power of demonic forces in your life. Be free in every area in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, give him a praise. I'm telling you. We're not here to detain you. We came loaded. We're ready to do something. Amen. You walk out of here, you're going to be a force to be reckoned with. Let me give you a few scriptures. So this is going to be it's kind of like school again for those who thought you would never go back. We need to be able to see both sides. If you don't see both sides, you'll embrace it. Again, it always intrigues me when preachers will get up in the pulpit and say, God doesn't want you blessed, he wants you poor, because out of your poverty, he can get glory. And then they get mad and have to take a third or fourth offering because people aren't giving enough. Just pray for me. Help me, Jesus. Oh, I believe sickness is there to teach me something, to give glory to God. You lying hypocrite. How dare you? All right, let me prove it to you. You think that sickness or pain's there to give glory to God, and and it's going to teach you something? Let me ask you this. Did you go to the doctor? Did you take pain medicine? Then you're a lying hypocrite. I believe in being poor. Really? And you're working 80 hours, two full-time jobs. I'm just ticking somebody off. I don't know, but I can feel it. It's warm over here. I moved over here because this feels like a warmer space for me. Over there, I feel someone getting angry. Security, shift over to the right a little more. Just telling the truth in love. It's amazing. We say we believe something, but we don't follow through with our actions. Right? What's the old phrase? Your words speak, but your feet and actions speak a lot louder. I butchered that, whatever it is. I don't know. I'll have to go. Okay, let me give you a few examples. Let's see if we can figure this out. Because John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. That's a zoe, Greek word, quality, God quality of life. Not that you're breathing, and praise God you are. And if you're not, raise your hand so we can pray for you. But that there's a quality that only God can provide in your life. So here's one verse. John chapter 16. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So let me, that's a good verse, by the way. So can you see your portion in that? What is your portion? Is your portion the trials and tribulations? No, that's just part of what's going to happen in life. While we're on this side of eternity, there's going to be trials or challenges. It's not that we live with battles all the time, but there will be trials and tribulations or challenges. Even perfect people do stupid stuff ever so often. Explaining your spouse is driving on the way to church. Just lighten up a little, just... Trials. So trials and tribulations are not your portion. Say, not my portion. Will they happen? Yes. Did God send them? No. There's still an enemy, John 10:10. There's still a thief. So when you face the opposition against you, don't be overwhelmed, though you feel overwhelmed. You might feel emotionally overwhelmed, but if you build your spirit with the word of God and prayer, you know what? You'll know you still have peace, because that is not, I feel it, but I refuse to allow it to take place in my life. That is not my portion. Say, that is not my portion. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, that is not my portion. What is our portion? Notice, perfect peace, confidence, good cheer, and victory. The more you get adamant about this, what you'll find is you'll begin to even redefine relationships. Because why do we allow people in our life that do the opposite of what God's wanting to do? Right. We've loved people and been around them so long, but every time we leave them, we feel worse, discouraged, down, fighting depression, confused, hurt, wounded. But I just feel so bad. Well, you're feeling bad when with them. You might as well feel bad away from them, and you can kind of get healed over all this garbage. It's getting quiet. Matthew, are you still with me? Okay. Matthew chapter 7, verse 25. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet this one, the one who heard the word and obeyed it, verse 24, yet it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Was the winds and the storm the portion?
No.
Not your portion. Will they come? Yeah, if you look at that, read that whole teaching right there, and you'll find out two groups of people, those who do their own thing and those who obey and do God's thing. And they're both building something. We do a daily Bible study teaching online, Monday through Thursday, and we did a series about a month or two ago talking about foundations. Because most people don't think about foundations. But foundations, when done right, will help you. If you're going to spend energy, time, effort building anything, make sure it's got a good foundation. No one gets married with the hopes of getting divorced. No one starts a business with the hope of bankruptcy. No one starts a ministry with the hopes of it failing and you being publicly embarrassed. But these things happen on a regular basis. Could it be they don't have a good foundation? Because the foundation, the Word of God, the principles, and the Bible gives lists of principal truths that are foundations. Because foundations will help you stand the test of time and the storms of life.
Amen.
Find when the other implodes, and I guarantee you somewhere in the mix, they either never built or they removed foundational truths out of their life. But storms come, and they'll blow. Winds will blow and beat. But that's not, say with me, that's not my portion. Come on, shout, that's not my portion. What's your portion? You're going to stand. Because the one who built the house on the sand, it was a great fall. They didn't make it. Say, I'm going to make it. And say, I'm going to be better. Why? Because anytime you go to war, there's always plunder. Lester Sumrall used to say, never charge a giant that doesn't have milk and honey.
Come on.
Yeah.
David said, what's the reward to the guy who takes on this giant?
Yeah.
Never. Some of us are spending, if we could accumulate it over a lifetime, years of our life, charging giants that do not have anything connected to what God has for us.
Yeah.
To destiny, blessing, milk and honey. That's referring to the promised land. We'll fight with anything and everything and get sidetracked and wonder why we're not making progress. John 10:10. The thief has come only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So, what is the stealing, killing, and destroying? Is that your portion? So when something in life happens, situation, people, whatever, and it is stealing, killing, or taking something out of your life that God gave you, did God do that? Well, God, the Lord gives, and the Lord taketh away. Ah. I don't know what I ate for breakfast, but I probably won't eat it again. Every time I hear someone say that, I just want to, well, you use your own imagination what I want to do. I'm already in trouble as it is. They've taken one scripture and built a whole doctrine on it out of the book of Job, the oldest book, to which later Job repents in his own writings for speaking of things he did not understand. But don't include the big picture. That's like watching the first 5 minutes of a movie and think you've got it all figured out. We're New Testament. Let's get to the New Testament. Let's look at Jesus. Hebrews 1, who's the expressed, the visible image of the invisible God. Show me what Jesus did when he was on the earth. He didn't kill people. He didn't look at him and say, you're such a, whoo, your faith is amazing. Oh, in me. Some of you get that later. That was totally spontaneous, so. what they put in my coffee. Maybe it was the coffee. Oh, your faith is so great. And, you know, and the way you are sacrificing and serving and living and being an example for the kingdom, it's wonderful. Lift your hands. You're going to get cancer. Leprosy come upon those. No, he didn't do that. He healed people. See, we curse cancer. You should have cursed that in the name of Jesus. Get your knee-jerk reaction going better. God, he didn't put sickness on people. He healed people. Yeah, it just takes a lot of really overly intelligent people to mess up the Word of God and create doctrines that are not in alignment with the Word of God. What is your portion? A quality of life that only comes from God. I'm not saying that you're not dealing with it. I'm dealing with depression. You might be dealing with depression, but depression is not your portion. What do you do with stuff that's not your portion? You stand against it. You fight. It's a good fight of faith. You speak against it. I feel so weak. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, let those who are weak say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. The value of God's word has to take priority and preeminence in your life. If not, you'll look at everything the enemy will tell you and talk to you and how you feel, and you begin to gravitate. Oh, I guess the word doesn't work for me. You just signed for the wrong package. What do? You need to repent. Father, I repent for every word that I have spoken that's out of alignment with your word. No, recognize your portion. Say, I see my portion. When you begin to see your portion, when you recognize your portion, that's when the promises of God become alive to you from the Word of God. The Holy Spirit reveals that Word to you. I want to close with this thought, and then we'll continue next week. We all talk, and we've talked about this before, but I'm going to stick with it. Luke's Gospel chapter 15, we'll not read it, I'll just reference it. And we know the story of the prodigal. The prodigal did not move toward the father because he hit rock bottom. The prodigal's life did not change because he went hungry. The prodigal's life changed, look it up, when the Bible says in the King James, he came to himself. A better way of saying that is when he began to see who the father was, because he came to himself and said, does not my father's employees, servants, whatever you want to call it, does not my father's servants have plenty? He came back because he began to see who he was in light of his father. He regained his sight of who his father was. And that's why I've done several messages on the flip side of this, because it's just, there's two brothers. There's two brothers. And a lot of us only pick on the one. But the other one stuck around but never stayed connected. You want to see how the younger one could have came back earlier? If the older one would have known his position. You see, what are you talking about? Because the older one said to his father, I've been with you. I have not disobeyed any of your commands. That sounds like a good church person, right? But you haven't even given me a goat for me and my friends. And his father said, son, don't you realize it's important that we celebrate your younger brother who once was dead but now is alive? But don't you also realize, son, he was calling him son. Why? Because he kept trying to act like a servant. Some of you, we've been ingrained in the church world that we are servants, second rate, second class. God doesn't care. And he's trying to bring you back to your position of who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are son and daughter of the Most High God. And the father said, son, don't you realize all that I have is yours? See, it's in the seed of righteousness you begin to know who you are. And when you begin to access what belongs to you, what am I telling you? If the older son would have been celebrating earlier, if he would have had a party on his own, he would have said, Father, I know I don't need to ask about letting you know. Hey, I'm taking to have the servants take a fatted calf, and me and my friends, we're going to have a party. He would have said, it's yours to do. Go ahead and have fun. And you would say, what's the importance? Because the sounds of a celebration could alarm and reminded his younger brother who was afar. What is that sound? What is that noise? That reminds me of the parties of my father. Sometimes I wonder if we're waiting for someone to hit rock bottom before they turn to Jesus. And I'm wondering if our Heavenly Father is saying, if you would be the light I called you to be, you begin to live at the level that I've called you to be. All of a sudden, it will remind those who are far from God. Hey, wait a minute. I remember that thing. What is that called? I think that's the anointing. Well, I remember that sound. That's a sound of joy. That's a sound of praise. We've been working so hard to match and fit in with the world. And God's saying, if you just be who I called you to be, the world will be reminded of who I am. 2 Corinthians 2:14. And they will come back to the light. They'll come back to me. Your portion is just not for your consumption. Your portion is just not for your consumption. You ought to say, thank you, Father. I know 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes I am healed. And I'm not only healed for me, I'm going to be healed as a testimony for everybody who knows me, that you're still the healing God. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the devil know that the moment he chose to attack you, he messed with the wrong person, that you're no longer passive, you're no longer weak, you're tenacious. You are tenacious, and you're not only going to get what belongs to you from the covenant of your portion, but you're going to share with other people. You're going to begin to distribute it with other people. Freely you have received, Jesus said, freely give. I'm looking for some people in his house that knows what I'm talking about. That you want to not only receive what belongs to you, but you want to be a light of that goodness wherever you go, just to stick it in the devil's face. You're like, you shouldn't talk like that. You better believe we should talk like that. For the weapons of your warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty. We have not come for agreement. We have not come for a truce with the devil or with a problem or the sickness or the cancer. We have not come to try to negotiate how we can live with it. We have come to conquer. Hebrews 11:33, who through faith subdued kingdoms and obtained the promises. Let the devil know, I'm hurting today, but you made a mistake when you attacked me. Something's stirring on the inside of me. I got to fight back. I have a light that's glowing now. I'm feeling the strength of God. I'm seeing things differently. I'm no longer a victim. You just didn't pick on me because God doesn't like me. You're picking on me because he loves me. And he's trying, you're trying. But I want you to know that the word that's on the inside of me, I'm hanging on to it. And it will produce much fruit. Not only 30, but also 60. And then 100. And one translation, it says 100, which means it's more than enough, overflowing. But even at that, it's not done. There's another 60 coming. There's another 30. Why would God do that? Because he doesn't want it to stay just with you. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. If you've ever been in a battle, if you know what I'm talking about, if you've ever gone through a tunnel and you never saw the light at the end, if you've been in a pit so long that you thought, oh, God, don't leave me here, then I'm talking to you. I'm telling you, today is the day. Today is the day. He is the God of the impossible, and he's doing the impossible for you. Come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah 60. First one, you can be seated. Isaiah 60, last verse. Isaiah 60, Amplified Classic. It says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. It didn't say, wait for God to grab you by the back of your collar and rip you out. It says you need to rise, step up, move to a different level. Why? Not only arise, shine, be radiant with the glory of God. See, it's impacting you, and now it's impacting through you. Impacting for you, then impacting through you. Impacting for you, impacting through you. If you get a hold of this, you begin to look at even the challenges of life as God's given me the victory on this one. And I'm going to the next level. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. What has come? Your light. Psalms 119 tells us in verse 130, the entrance of his word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. What is that? Revelation. When the word's been revealed, when a scripture's been revealed to you, it'll go off on the inside of you like, oh, this is awesome. Hang on to it. Write it down. Memorize it. It's a light. It's a light. It's a light for your path. David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how he directs you. It might not always make sense, but the Bible says, don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The steps of the righteous, order of the Lord. So the light comes. And when the light comes, guess what else comes? God's power. You know what happens in the church world? We adopt ideas, and then when we do it, we have to do it in our own power. But when you do what God shows you to do, I'm just freeing you up. From Sister So-and-so, told you, you just got saved. I've been saved for 900 years. Let me tell you, here's all the things you have to do. You got to get up at 4 a.m. and read your Bible for 4 hours at least. And then you got, and I'm not saying don't read your Bible, but a lot of us are doing things that other people have told us to do. And we're doing it in our own ability. I'm not saying it's okay to sin. No, Romans 6, very specific. I'm telling you, quit exhausting yourself to do what other people are telling you to do as you try to emulate them. You need to follow, emulate, as dear children, the Bible says, be imitators of God. What does that mean? Let him show you. Get in the word, begin to read, begin to pray, do it at your level, and let him show you. And as he shows you, it'll become a part of you. And when it becomes a part of you, understand in your heart, with the understanding comes his power. And with his power comes the ability. Oh, I wish I could. Well, then you need the understanding. And when you get that understanding and his power, what's going to happen? Back to the first part of that verse. You're going to rise up. Yeah. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, don't look at me. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you better give me some space. Where God's taken, you can't stay in the place you were before. You can't stay at the level that God, he's bringing you to a bigger level, a greater level, a greater level, a greater level. It's a new life. If you believe that, give him a praise. Come on, hallelujah. Can you recognize your portion? Next week, we're going to talk, if the Lord willing, how to respond to your portion. If you don't know how to respond, you can't receive it. But if you can't respond to something if you don't recognize it. Do you recognize your portion? You're like, I'm feeling, man, this person hurt my feelings. Walk away from it. That is not your portion. Would you bow your head? Close your eyes. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today? In a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not asking if you know about God. In the way you process and the way you experience and the way you understand, is Jesus Christ real to you? It's one of the greatest miracles of all time. Is he real? That you know that he's your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven, you're going to heaven. If you don't know that, you can. When you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you can lay your head down and know that your conscience is clear. You have made things right between you and God. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you've never heard the gospel before, that God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he sent Jesus to die on the cross to take your place so that you have the benefits of his obedience. He was buried for you. He died on the cross for you, was buried for you, and on the third day rose again for you. Or maybe you used to have a relationship with God, but for whatever reason, you've allowed stuff to come between you and God, and you know your heart's not right. If either one of those are you, I'm going to pray a prayer in a few seconds. All I'm asking you to do is just be real between you and Jesus. And if you know your heart's not right, why don't you give him an opportunity? Watch what only he can do. Say this prayer with me. Follow me as I lead you in this prayer. Let it come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now look up here. If you prayed that prayer, the Bible says heaven is celebrating. We want to celebrate with you. So here, I want to speak a blessing over your life. I believe that one of the things that's lacking in the church world globally is this tenacious mindset that I'm going to stand for Jesus. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to be who God wants me to be. I'm going to have what God wants me to have. I'm going to reach those who God wants me to reach. Because we can't keep everybody happy. And the more people like you, the more people don't like you. It's just the weirdest dynamic in the world. Some of us are just afraid of someone disagreeing with us, and we want everybody to like us. But you won't do much. The more people love you, the more people hate you. It is what it is. But the most important thing is living for one and doing what he wants us to do. And so I want to speak a blessing over your life, that God would give you strength. For some, you're like, man, I prayed this prayer, and I go out and I go back to the old life. No, you need a strength, a tenacity on the inside that you can stand up against sin and opposition and serve God. This doesn't need to be a vicious cycle. You keep coming around. No, God wants us to go Proverbs 4 to brighter and brighter, glory to glory, different levels. And so if you prayed that prayer at the count of three, I'm going to ask you don't have to come down here, but I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and stay where you're at. You're like, I'm not comfortable standing in front of people. Maybe I don't know anybody. I get it, but that's the point. If we don't stand up for Jesus in a room of people that are clapping for us, how do we stand up for Jesus in a place in the world that's trying to talk us out of serving him? That's what we're trying to get to, the heart of it. And that's what we need in the church world. Not that you're weird. Not that you even try to witness to everybody. You witness to the ones the Lord tells you to witness to. You do what the Lord shows you to do. But that you're being real and saying, God, I'm going to cross that line. I want to stand up for you. If this is your first time or you're coming back, either one. But if you just prayed that prayer, meant business with Jesus. We're not looking for people who are just being a sissy about stuff. We're looking for real men and women of God to stand up and say, I don't care what the cost. I don't care if they talk about me anymore. I don't care if they don't invite me to a party. I didn't need to be at that party anyway. So if you mean business with the Lord and you just prayed that prayer at the count of three, now some of you are bold, so stand quick so those who are timid will get a little confidence. But if you mean business with Jesus at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. One, two, three, stand right now in the name of Jesus. Who am I talking to? Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Second, three, four, five, six. God bless you. Seven. Come on, keep clapping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay standing. Hey, thank you. Anybody else? A few more seconds. Hey, stretch your hands toward these people. Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person standing here, representing someone just got saved, we thank you for their salvation. We thank you that they are going to heaven, that they are in the family of God. We curse and bind everything that's been set by the enemy against them. We break and curse every curse against them. Anybody with a diabolical assignment against them, we bind and command them to be out and relocated out of their circle of influence. And for every person that you move from their life, I ask you to bring two better ones into their life. Father God, we thank you for a tenacious anointing. According to your word, I ask you to strengthen them with might by your Holy Spirit in their inner person. In Jesus' name, And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, give them a big hand clap. Hallelujah.